So, Greg, I was hanging out with our mutual friend, Chad, this weekend. He is a listener of the podcast. He pulls me aside and he's like, hey, I really love your podcast. I'm like, thanks, Chad. And he's like, yeah, but Greg just has a really good voice, you know? It's like a radio DJ voice. And I was like, yeah, you know, Greg does have a really good voice, Chad. You're right. Gotcha. He goes, yeah, I don't really like your voice. It's just, there's something about it. It's just not that good. But Greg has a really good voice. And I was like, thanks, Chad. I really appreciate it.
Can I say something for the record?
Yes.
Chad's wrong. Your voice is beautiful.
So after I stopped crying, yeah, I just kind of changed the subject. I thought you would love to hear that story. And for the rest of the podcast, it's just going to be you and as a monologue.
Yep.
And I'm just going to be there.
Or can you just, in editing, just make your voice sound like my voice?
I thought you were going to say, edit me out. But
no, I want you in. I want your ideas.
Chad, if you're listening, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make my voice Greg's. Or just have Greg say my parts. We haven't gotten that far yet. We don't know if the technology's there. We'll see.
We should actually just do the intro and I'll just do... I'm Gregory Hill parts. And I'm Jordan Stone.
And at some point you just phase me out. You're like, hey man, you don't need to show up tonight. I got this one.
This is a music podcast where one guy of 34 years picks one artist per episode and talks about why it's awesome to him.
What are the odds that I change my voice for this episode from now? Like, there is no question I'm going to be like, hello, I'm Jordan Stone.
Jordan, you sound like Batman. What's going on?
Chad, thank you. You've changed the entire course of this podcast's future. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kind of homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio. And a Jay-Z song was on. And a Jay-Z song was on.
I would be shocked if you had not heard of the topic of our podcast today, Miley Cyrus. But we hope today that we'll walk you through a future that you will hear from this fantastic and famous artist. We believe that there is a very bright future in front of Miley Cyrus and that she will one day make a tremendous country or singer-songwriter album. So stay tuned as we put together a playlist of what you might hear on this record and talk through why we think that Miley Cyrus is going to be one of the best artists of the next 20 years. Felt like I couldn't breathe. You asked what's wrong with me? My best friend Leslie said, oh, she just being Miley. Luckily, there's nothing wrong with you because you're listening to Sounds Good to Us. I'm Gregory Hill.
And I'm Jordan Stone.
This is a music podcast where two friends of 21 years and counting pick one artist per episode and talk about why that artist is awesome to us, even if you don't think so. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Jordan, today we are gathered here to talk about an artist who has no trouble being herself. And while she's one of the most successful artists of this century, you and I both believe that she's just getting started. I want you to tell me your personal connection about how you first heard about our focus today, Miley Cyrus.
Thanks, Greg. That sounded great. I have a few connections to Miley. I lived in Franklin, Tennessee, where she is from 1986 to 1992. So Miley was born within a few miles radius of my house at that time. And we are 7 or so years apart in age. So there's that Nashville connection there. Next is I spent the first part of my career working in recording studios in Nashville. And in the summer of 2008, I was working at East Iris Studios in the Berry Hill neighborhood of Nashville, and I see that Miley Cyrus is booked for the studio that day. And at this time, she was really only known as Hannah Montana. That's all I knew her as. I wouldn't at this time call myself a fan, but I was excited to meet her. I mean, it's pretty cool, Miley Cyrus coming in. And she was actually recording her first album as Miley Cyrus. So not anymore Hannah Montana. She's now becoming Miley Cyrus, the solo artist, I guess you would say. And she recorded the song 7 Things in the studio that day. I thought she was pleasant to work with. I remember her having a ton of energy and referring to me as sir, which made me feel really old as a 22-year-old. That's like my number one memory. She kept saying, yes, sir. And I'm just like, damn it. I'm only 22. In between some like decent stories here, a very short, boring one. I saw her at the XS nightclub in Vegas around 2016 or so. She wasn't performing or anything. She was just there with some friends.
That's the second random Vegas show shout out. The other one, Nelly, just randomly showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good. I need to go to Vegas more is the story.
Exactly. And then lastly, I wrote for 17 Magazine in 2009, which has its own story attached to it. I can't get into it. It's too long. But yes, I wrote for 17 Magazine. And I was writing an article for the Hannah Montana movie, the premiere of that. So I was at the 10:30 a.m. opening day showing of the Hannah Montana movie in April of 2009, which there's just something funny about that. It was for work, so I did it anyway, and that is my connection to Miley.
The funniest part of that story is that I remember vividly that you were on vacation that day. You didn't go for work. You went because you love Hannah Montana.
I took the day off.
You don't have to tell people. All right, so I'm up next. I'm a uncle. I have six nieces and I have two nephews. And obviously, any of you who've listened to the podcast know that I'm the cool uncle, right? And everyone, not just my nieces and nephews, just everyone looks up to me, obviously. And that part has nothing to do with the story, but I just wanted to be very clear that I'm cool, obviously.
Of course.
I was home visiting from college one day. My nieces were just sort of hanging out. They were, you know, over at my parents' house, hanging out with their grandma and grandpa. And I was just sitting on the couch with them. We were catching up. They were pretty young at the time, some in elementary school, middle school. And we were watching TV and landed on the Hannah Montana rerun. And they screamed like they were watching The Beatles. And they begged to watch, so I obliged reluctantly, but being the coolest uncle, obviously, in the world, I decided, yes, let's watch this. I would have chosen an Arthur rerun. Shout out to PBS. The show Arthur is great. Chance the Rapper is a huge fan. But sometimes you just have to give the people what they want. So I knew nothing about the show, but my interest perked up a bit when my brother, who was also there, said that, yeah, did you know that this is Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter? Which is interesting to me because I grew up in the 90s, huge Achy Breaky Heart fan as a little kid. And this was interesting to me in the same way that, like, knowing Ken Griffey Jr. is the son of Ken Griffey, or that Peyton Manning is the son of Archie Manning, or that George Bush was the son of George Bush. Like, familiar dynasties are really interesting to me. So at this point, it was kind of hard to do a lot of research. Wikipedia didn't exist in mass, but I was able to, like, glean a little bit more, and I wanted to watch her career. I heard Nobody's Perfect a lot on the radio in 2007. That was kind of her first big hit. But it wasn't until 2008 when a YouTube user, CoolGirl91, posted apparently someone else's video of this middle school girl dancing in an Auburn t-shirt while flickering the lights on and off in a room. Jordan, have you seen this YouTube video? Do you remember this?
I have not, I don't think.
She was known for two. She did a Rihanna and she did a Miley Cyrus. I urge all of you to go look for this. And it's kind of like the Star Wars kid situation, if you remember early days of YouTube.
Yeah, with the lightsaber.
Yeah, like somebody posts a video online and it becomes viral, right? Which can be mean. But I can tell you that not one of you is not done what this girl did in this video, which is just like lip syncing to your favorite song. You think you're alone. You're having the best time. I do it daily. So that was really when I realized that, like, Miley's huge, right? Because this song and this video went absolutely viral. Everyone was watching it. Fast forward to 2012, when Miley posted a video of her singing You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go for Chimes of Freedom, the songs of Bob Dylan honoring 50 years of Amnesty International. It's a long-ass title for a record. But that's when I noticed Miley, and I realized the depth of her voice. I knew that she wasn't just a pop star, but she was a musician. She was an artist, even while doing a cover, and I fucking loved that song, and I became very interested in what Miley was capable of as an artist. So let's talk a little bit about Miley as a person. Not just as a pop star. As you mentioned earlier, Destiny Hope Cyrus was born on November 23rd, 1992 in Franklin, Tennessee, not too far from where Jordan and I grew up. Billy Ray Cyrus, obviously the father, known for Achy Breaky Heart, but also Tish Cyrus, who is an actress and film producer. Her godmother is Dolly Parton, the absolute queen of country music. She rose to fame as a star of Disney Channel's Hannah Montana, which is arguably the biggest, and I think you could say, even up to current day, the most influential teen star in history because of her crossover of TVs, movies, and musical success. Everyone wanted to do this. Right now, we are in the midst of like Olivia Rodrigo's beginning in a very similar way, but Miley was sort of the first major person to cross over in all of these directions at the heights that she did. And she's listed Elvis Presley as her biggest inspiration, but she's also said Madonna, Lana Del Rey, Dolly Parton, Timbaland, Christina Aguilera, Joan Jett, Lil' Kim, Shania Twain, Hanson, One Republic, and Britney Spears. This is a very diverse set of people who've had an influence on her, which we'll find out today how that's kind of been brought to bear in her music. And she's released, to date, 7 studio albums from the year 2007 to 2020. 5 of those have peaked in the top 10 of Billboard's US 200. 3 of them were certified platinum. So we're talking about Hannah Montana 2, which was the double side of that, was the album you were talking about that was recorded. That was certified triple platinum, and it peaked at number 1 in the Billboard 200. She also peaked at number 1 in the Billboard 200 with her second album, Breakout, and she means that she was the 3rd solo artist to chart on the Billboard 200 under the age of 18 twice, which is insane. Her next album was Can't Be Tamed, peaked at number 3 on the Billboard 200 charts, didn't go platinum, so it was a little bit of a disappointment after her first two, and then she followed that up with Bangers, which debuted at number 1, Miley Cyrus and her Dead Pets, Younger Now, and then Plastic Hearts, her most recent album. She's also appeared in 13 movies. She's headlined 5 major world tours. Miley is absolutely one of the biggest and most uncompromising stars that we have seen in the 21st century. Let's get into here a little bit, Jordan. I want you to pick a song from Miley's entire catalog. I want you to tell me which song best represents the sound that you want to talk about when it comes to Miley Cyrus.
I chose High from her 2020 album, Plastic Hearts.
Sometimes I get a little too hurt. Got my mind going places it ain't wanna go. Sometimes I get a little too low.
I surprised even myself with picking this song, considering it's only 9 months old at the recording of this episode, but I think this might be the best song artistically that she's released to date. This is the Miley I want more of. And I think she's been drawn a little too much into the sexiness of having a pop hit. A lot of artists do it. In fact, many, many, many artists do it more than you probably know. Try to cross over into pop.
I certainly did it in my 20s.
Exactly. Same here. Yeah. And even artists you know that might have tried and failed, you just don't realize they did. Mm-hmm. But also I want to do here is play you the chorus because I really want to sell you on this song. I've had this one on repeat for most of the week. In the research, every song I went to, I kept going back to High. It is such a great song.
It's funny your answer, and you said that you were surprised that you picked a song that was so recent. I also picked a very recent song of hers. And I think what that speaks to is that it's really hard to pin down a song. Like, we could have obviously chosen her hits from the 2010s, right? We could have easily done Party in the USA or Can't Stop or any of her most famous pop hits. But that's not who she is anymore. She doesn't make that music anymore. So she makes music that sounds much more like High, but then also my choice, Midnight Sky. Where she is now, I think this song best reflects the sound that she's going for. It has a sort of 80s rock, disco, new wave feeling to it. It's danceable. It's poppy in a sense that it's going to be popular. It's mass-produced music, but it's not the same kind of music she used to make. It sort of sounds like Blondie and Pat Benatar. It's sort of punky in places, but it's not derivative. It's genuinely modern. And it feels like a really good way for her to showcase the type of music she wants to put in the world right now compared to what she might have put out in her previous albums. And all of her albums are pretty different, which makes her an interesting artist. I think probably a lot of people who think about music as much as we do would write her off because they're like, oh, it's Miley Cyrus. But her albums are genuinely interesting. She's doing new shit. Yeah. And I think that will continue to change. Like, we do this podcast every week. If we did it 2 years from now, we'd probably be picking songs off her next album because they'll sound so different than this one. That's what I like about Miley the most. She keeps reinventing herself in a way that sounds authentic. as compared to Maroon 5, who we've talked about in previous podcasts, who they keep reinventing themselves, but in sort of in a way that seems inauthentic. I don't feel like on Miley's most recent album that she's just ripping off music. I think she's making music that's really for her.
Yeah, Midnight Sky is great.
I want you to tell me, we're going to pick a couple here. Who's an artist that you think is either similar to Miley or reminds you of Miley or other people might like if they like Miley, and pick a song that best exemplifies their sound?
When you hear this, when you hear artist comparisons to Miley Cyrus, you might be thinking Selena Gomez and artists like that, some of her contemporaries. But we went in a different direction, and I'm going to start with Stevie Nicks and her song Talk to Me from 1985's Rock a Little.
There's no sense in dancing around the subject. A wound gets worse when it's treated with neglect. Well, don't turn now, there's nothing here to fear.
It's safe to say that Miley Cyrus is objectively most similar to Stevie Nicks in her voice, her range, her style, the span of genres that both Miley and Stevie have done. And this clip that we just played, it almost sounds like Miley Cyrus. If you close your eyes and just picture that it is Miley Cyrus, it's pretty damn close. And it wouldn't surprise me if Miley purposely emulates Stevie Nicks. And by the way, it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's also not a bad person to emulate. I mean, Stevie Nicks is one of the best to ever do it. So Stevie Nicks was the first that came to mind for me.
It makes total sense. I chose Joan Jett for my first, and the song Bad Reputation from 1981's Bad Reputation. This song, famously, if you're a TV fan, you know this. Maybe you're a Joan Jett fan, but I know for me, the first time I heard this song was as the opening credit background for the wonderful Freaks and Geeks show from the early 2000s. It was a perfect song for that show, and I think it's the perfect song to describe what I think Miley considers to be sort of the single framework for how she sees the world. This is how I make decisions. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. Despite being a pop star, I'm going to do what I think is right for me. And because of this, I think we're going to see sort of magic in Miley going forward, which is one of my central theses of today's episode, as you'll hear from my songs that I chose. Yep. But this song itself, as you heard, it has this sort of fuzzy guitar hook throughout it that makes it sound like a punk song. I love the backing vocals. And Joan Jett's voice sounds a lot like Miley here, and they've actually collaborated quite a bit on some music. I'm going to do one of the covers later on that Joan Jett is on, but they've also made some other music, so this comparison makes sense from that perspective too.
Next is Janis Joplin's Me and Bobby McGee from 1971's Pearl.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before.
Such a great song. And I have some fun facts about this song. Let's go through them. Number one, it was written by Kris Kristofferson. It was originally then performed by Roger Miller in 1969, then Kenny Rogers later in 1969. Then it went number one. It was a number one hit for Gordon Lightfoot in 1970. Then Kristofferson released his own version in 1970. And then Janis Joplin recorded her version just a few days before her death in 1970. This song is also number 148 on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest songs of all time. Janis Joplin's Me and Bobby McGee deserve to be on this list.
My next choice is the band Blondie, specifically the voice of Debbie Harry, the lead singer of Blondie. And the song that I chose is Rapture from 1980's Auto American.
Fab Five Freddy told me everybody slide. DJ spinning, I said my. Flash is fast, flash is cool. Francois Safar, flush ain't no do. And you don't stop, sure shot. Go out to the parking lot and get in your car.
I could have also chosen Ripper to Shreds from the same album, but I specifically wanted to talk about Rapture because it is a wild-ass song. So this song came out in 1980, and it has Debbie Harry, who is ostensibly a punk musician. Like, Blondie at this point is a punk band. If you listen to their early albums, they're not a disco band. They're not a funk band. They are a punk band. And they are playing very guitar-driven music and taking risks, but then they're starting to really blend genres. And this is why I see the comparison with Miley. She's picking up on what she's hearing. She's picking up on her influences. She's showcasing her own sort of inner punk in this music. But the thing that's special about Rapture is it's a rap song. And honestly, going back, it's a little bit cringe, kind of. And people have spoken to this, is that how much was Debbie Harry just sort of ripping off rap music? How much of this was appropriation, possibly? But I think the song comes across as a sincere blend. And I think when it comes to mixing disco, funk, and rap and rock, Blondie's records are very similar in sound to what Miley's recent records are. And I would be confident that Miley likes this song. So I think listen to Rapture, tell us what you think. But I do think that Blondie's a good comparison for Miley.
Next up is Tanya Tucker's 1973 number one hit, Delta Dawn.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here?
One of the best country songs of all time. I think we can agree on that.
Yep.
And again, if you're sensing a theme here, to me, this sounds like Miley Cyrus sang it. I can tell you right now that her parents played her this song as she was growing up, and she sang it in her house growing up. And again, emulating that sound. If you take this song and you take Stevie Nicks and you combine it together, that is Miley Cyrus. It's a lot of the theme of this episode and what you're about to hear. And this is the last comp for me, so I'll take the opportunity to say, Miley is approaching 30 years old. And there's plenty of time left for her to release songs like Talk to Me, Me and Bobby McGee, and Delta Dawn. I think we haven't seen the best from Miley yet, and so we will patiently wait.
Agreed. We can wait patiently. My last one, Jordan, I don't know what you're going to think about this, but Post Malone is my last one. And hear me out.
Okay with it.
I'm selecting I'm Gonna Miss Her, which is a cover of Brad Paisley's hit from 2001's Part 2.
That water's right in.
He recorded a video of this. I could have also chosen in the same session he recorded the fantastic You Can Have the Crown by Sergio Simpson, but I went with Brad Paisley, A, because it's one of my favorite country music songs of all time. Nothing against Sergio. Sergio's great. But in the same way that Miley covers music, which I'm going to speak about extensively in our playlist that we're going to create live here from Miley, there's really two very important things that these covers tell us. One is, who does Miley, or in this case, who does potentially Post Malone, listen to? And maybe not so much Brad Paisley, but in all the other covers that Post Malone does, he covers a lot of musicians. You can tell who he listens to and who he respects. And that tells us a lot about an artist. It's sort of an inner working to how they think about the music that they like, which in some ways always makes its way into the music that they make. Then what range do they have outside of their core genre? And this helps us seek to what the future could be like. If Post Malone made a straight up country record, it would be a number one country hit.
It'd be awesome.
And same thing goes with Miley, which I'm going to speak to in the covers. But I think that if you listen to some of these cover songs, you hear a different side of the artist that's very interesting. Now, Posty says that Bob Dylan, Kurt Cobain, and Johnny Cash are his biggest influences. And he weaves a lot of old music into how he thinks about music, even if stylistically his songs sound very modern and don't sound anything like Bob Dylan, Kurt Cobain, or Johnny Cash. And this particular cover is not mind-blowing. It's not, he's not roasting this song. He's not like making it different in any way. But it just shows how really good and clear his voice is. Post Malone has a very good voice. And it's the same thing that like both Posty and Miley might be the most explicitly reverent musicians with regards to what music they like. They talk about artists that they like all the time publicly. And that's not something a lot of artists that we talk about do. And the last thing I'll say about Post Malone and Miley is in 2012, when I first heard that cover of the Bob Dylan song, I bought a lot of metaphorical Miley stock, knowing that it was going to rise. And I will hold that stock till I die. Like I think, like you said, Miley has a tremendous future in front of her. I was late to the Post Malone game, but I'm buying a stock now because I also think he's going to make incredible music as he gets older. And so The comparison here is that I think both of these stars are not going to burn out soon like a lot of pop musicians do. I think they will be relevant into their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and that's going to be awesome to watch. So after those comparisons, let's get into specifically Miley Cyrus. So here we're going to do is every episode we create a playlist and we pick 10 songs that we think are emblematic of this artist and we think that you should listen to. And in this case, we've done that for Miley Cyrus. Check out the playlists that we're making that accompany these episodes. The easiest way to find it is by going to www.soundsgoodtous.com. There's a link there that you can check them all out. So Jordan's going to get us kicked off. What is the first song that you selected for our playlist?
Yeah, I want to first throw out a concept for this playlist, which is different from our other episodes. What if Miley Cyrus decided to go a Taylor Swift route and do an album like Folklore? Folklore comes out. Taylor Swift's been doing pretty much straight pop music for quite a while, and everyone was surprised. It was Americana. It was folk. What if Miley did it? What would that album sound like? So Greg and I have found songs that we were going to make an album that Miley Cyrus releases her own Folklore. What would that sound like? And here's those songs. I'll get it started. I Would Die for You from 2017's Younger Now.
How could I? You're everything to me.
I love this song the first time I heard it. I've been wanting this simple singer-songwriter style from Miley for a long time, and in 2017, we got it. This song delivers everything. I think it sets up the playlist really, really well for what we're about to do here. And Greg's going to do covers, which I'm excited to hear him talk about, and I'll pass it over to him.
Yeah, I'm only choosing covers in my end because I want to talk about the choices that Miley makes when she interprets other people's music. And I hope that that's sort of a lens into what type of music she would create if she went this direction. And like both of us have said, I want to put it on record right now, and I'm sure that you'll co-sign this. At some point in her career, Miley is going to release an absolutely magnificent country record at some point. And I think that she will do that on her own terms. And I think she will do that in her own way, but I think it'll be fantastic. So the first song I chose into that vein, to wit, as they say, is Jolene, her cover of the famous Dolly Parton song.
And he talks about you.
All of you know this song. It's probably one of the top 20 songs of all time. It's perfect in every single way. Dolly Parton is probably one of the top 20 songwriters of all time. And she's massively underrated as a songwriter and as a business person and a philanthropist and everything else. So why the fuck would I want someone to cover a song that's so perfect by a perfect person? It's a lot of P's. It's bad for the microphone. Again, with Miley, it comes to range. Her voice is so fucking good. And she has a flourish in it, but not too much. It's like this like perfectly balanced dish with the right amount of sweetness and acidity and spiciness. It's just, it's there to add some texture, but it's not too much. I like the tempo of the choice that the band plays on this song. It sounds a little bluegrass. It sounds a little more country. It sounds a little bit more folk. It's a little bit more stripped down. And I think that Miley could write an entire record of songs, maybe not as good as Jolene, but like this. And I hope that she does. She has country roots. And to your point, like Taylor earlier, when she finally released a country record on her own terms, it was fucking great.
Next up for me is Slide Away.
So it's time to let it go. I want my house in the hills. Don't want the whiskey and pills. I don't give up easily, but I don't think I'm down. So it's time to let it go back to the ocean.
And this song was only released as a single. It was not featured or even on any of her albums. It sounds like a song she just wanted to get into the world. I think that's why it's not on an album, because there was a lot going on in her life at the time. Allegedly, it's about her marriage with Liam Hemsworth and the demise of their relationship. And it's an immensely personal song. And I think it shows, if she were to do that Folklore type Americana album, we get those personal songs that we know that she can provide to us. And that's what drew me to Slide Away and why it made the playlist.
Yeah, I think that's the major difference in this, is that I want to hear her write and release music about herself, because yes, she's interesting. And that might be the turn. So that's a good theme, like, that you've pulled out there.
Like hopping off the plane at LAX with a dream and a cardigan.
Kind of like that. I do hope, though, that she does similar to Taylor and she re-releases all of her old music in her own version.
That'd be cool.
Does a country version of that. My next choice is You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You Go, which is a cover of the famous Bob Dylan song.
I'm shooting in the dark too long. When something's not right, it's wrong. You're gonna make me lonesome when you go.
I mentioned this is the song that I first heard and saw Miley for who I, you know, I think she is an incredible artist and what I think she will become. She's not at her core a pop singer. She's been making pop music, but I think she's much more than that. And she's not a product of some TV, movie, billboard, industrial machine. She has good taste. That's evidenced by her covers. She covers great songs. While most of her music is very sort of loud and extra, and I nothing against it, I like her, all of her pop music. It's fine. But this shows just how beautiful of a singer that she is and how just her and acoustic guitar and some bass and raw emotion. There's no bullshit. Again, this is a folk song, but because she's singing it and because of her voice and her twang, it sounds like a country song. So I think in this country record, you would hear a lot of her enunciation like that.
Next up is Twinkle Song from Miley Cyrus and her Dead Pets.
I had a dream. David Bowie taught us how to skateboard, but he was shaped like Gumby.
This is the last track on her 2015 album. The very, very last track. And there's a shit ton of songs on that album. It's mm-hmm. the very last one. So a lot of people probably haven't heard this song. It only has 5 million plays, which for Miley Cyrus is nothing. But it deserves to make the playlist. I love how random this song is. I had a dream. David Bowie taught us how to skateboard, but he was shaped like Gumby.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting way to start a song, but I mean, it's just a very fun song. I really like the end of it. It shows how much fun she has in the studio. She finishes playing the song on the piano. She smashes down the piano and goes, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
There's some authenticity there that I really appreciate, and mm-hmm. Twinkle Song is really great. Check it out.
You just pulled out theme number two, right? Theme number one is we want to hear her make music that tells about her experience in particular. The second thing is we want authenticity. And that's a hallmark of a country record, right?
Yeah.
Three chords and a truth. My next one is her version of Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, which she performed on SNL's 40th anniversary show a couple years ago. I could listen to the way her voice sounds at the beginning of this for like a week. It's husky, it's sexy, it's powerful, it's just unavoidable. I like how she interprets the song. It's immediately recognizable, but she also makes it her own. And she ends the last chorus with just an absolute showcase of how strong her vocals are. And this is like Carrie Underwood power of a song, but it's like on Molly. And I like it. And again, if we're putting together this country album, she would be doing a disservice if she didn't have like a really powerful country song. It doesn't need to be soft folk country singer. We want her to have like a strong Luke Combs, Shania Twain, Carrie Underwood song too, and she could absolutely pull it off.
Next is The Climb from 2009. I can't say with a straight face. Okay, I'll do it again. I might keep that in. Next is The Climb from 2009's Hannah Montana, the movie soundtrack.
Ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's The Climb.
Greg, just a question for you. Did you ever think you'd be talking about a song from the Hannah Montana movie soundtrack on a podcast? Is that in your future, you think?
We usually talk about the Rolling Stone top 500 songs of all time. This is actually 39th on that list, so it doesn't surprise me at all.
Full disclosure, this is hands down my favorite Miley song. And we've actually talked about this song previously on this podcast in the Lizzo episode. This is the second time we've talked about The Climb on our podcast.
Yep.
Look. It's well written, it's inspiring, it's well produced. It checks a lot of boxes for me on what a great pop song should be. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to it consistently since it came out in 2009. It's just been on rotation for me for 11 years. And I love this song.
It's the only song he listens to. This entire podcast is a sham. It's really just The Climb over and over again. Go look at his playlist. It's just The Climb. It's every single song. It's just The Climb.
37 climbs in a row.
37. All right. So my next choice is Wild Horses, her cover of the Rolling Stones song. So this was already a country song when it was performed by the Rolling Stones and recorded in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Shout out to the Florence Muscle Shoals metro area. I have a general problem sort of with her performance of this song, only because for parts of it, she seems like pretty disinterested and just enunciating the verses. Like, she just really phones the verses in. So there's a missed opportunity there. It sort of sounds like she was asked to sing this at like the Stage, which is a famous honky tonk in Nashville, Tennessee. And well, she's just hanging out. She's not there to sing. And people are like, oh, go up there and sing Wild Horses. And she's like, no, it's okay. I don't want to. And they're like, no, please do. She's like, no, people are, please. And she goes up and does it begrudgingly. That's what the verses sound like. And I'm not selling this very well at all. But I can tell you the chorus is stunning. And so if we're trying to tease out parts of these songs to put together what we think the future of this great country album that she could make is, I think these choruses just speak to the range and quality and timbre of her voice, which is special. Yeah. I mean, she has a very special voice. And so while overall this song is not great, this version of it, such a fantastic song, the chorus is what I'm really focused on here.
Last track for me is Adore You. This song has an amazing earworm, and just to be honest, it's the only reason that I chose this song is I just wanted to say this on the podcast. The it just draws you in.
Is enchanting.
I know. Thanks, Chad. This song just draws you in. The chorus is so good. It's one of those songs that I want to hear over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's not perfectly fitting on our theme here of that Taylor Swift folklore type album. But I think it's okay. I think it's a little bit of a change of pace, and Adore You deserves to be on here.
Great. Love the choice. My last choice, what wraps us up, at least on our focus for the playlist now, is her cover of the fantastic Replacement song, Androgynous. Now, her cover is a video that she posted for her nonprofit, Happy Hippie, which is a foundation that focuses on youth homelessness, the LGBTQ community, and other vulnerable populations. And this is a great sort of collective of just fucking punk real people. One is Joan Jett and Blackhearts play as the backing band for this, which we talked about Joan Jett earlier as a potential cop. And then also Laura Jane Grace from Against Me, which is my favorite punk band of all time. This is a great group. And this is a group of like punk rock icons on stage. And Miley doesn't seem out of place. She seems like she's having a great time. She can hang. She doesn't stick out like a sore thumb. I love the harmonies on this song. I love how all three of their voices complement each other. And while this isn't a country song, I think it's another feather in the cap of Miley's range. And again, if we're trying to project future, kind of like we would for a baseball player, like we want to see what they've done in the past, what they're doing now, and what does that tell us about what they could be in the future? And range is so much of it. How many different things can you do well? And Miley, this song is another example of how many different things she can do well. And her most recent albums are examples of how many different things that she can do well. And her current music sounds very 70s and 80s. It sounds very Blondie. It sounds very Joan Jett. It sounds very Pat Benatar. And her sound of the 2010s helped define that decade of pop music. So this next decade is going to be fucking interesting for Miley, and I can't wait. All right, so let's talk about some awards. Not that, you know, Miley will necessarily cherish or put the awards that we give her today in her case, but we're going to give them out anyway. Jordan, kick me off with what awards you want to give Miley today.
Let's start with the obvious. Best child stars turned musicians. Fergie. I did not know this until the research. Did you know that, Greg?
I did not.
She was on a 90s show called Kids Incorporated. It's on YouTube. Check it out. You can see her singing and acting and all that fun stuff. Next up, Drake. Don't forget about Drake. He was a child star on Degrassi. And then obviously, let's go with the obvious of the obvious, Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, and Christina Aguilera, who starred together on the Mickey Mouse Club at the same time. That's spectacular. We forget that those three superstars, by the way, superstars were together on the Mickey Mouse Club.
And Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling, Keri Russell.
Yep.
The actress was also on there, and that's pretty insane. And then next up for me is most misdirected careers. I know it's negative, and I hate to say it, and I only say it because I want more. If it's not obvious, we love Miley. I just want more. And so really what I'm talking about here is just musicians whose talent has been underutilized. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just something that I want to see her do more with her talent.
I want to retweet Jordan's Child Stars Award. I want to give the similar award, but I want to name some other previous winners here. Michael Jackson, obviously. It is insane. Everything Michael Jackson aside, obviously, is a problematic person to talk about sometimes. But when you listen to Jackson 5 and then you see Michael Jackson's 80s and 90s career,
it's almost not believable.
To watch him go from being a kid to an adult and be good and across that is just insane. Shout out to Ron fucking Howard. Anybody? He was a child star on the Andy Griffith Show and also has become a massive Hollywood director. I also learned today that he still owns the 1970 Volkswagen Beetle that he bought as his first car when he was a kid.
Isn't that kind of a similar story with Warren Buffett? He drives like a Buick from 1982.
Possibly. But here's my favorite part of the story, and I hope this is also true for Warren Buffett. Ron Howard said, possibly joking, but he said in an interview that he sometimes still goes out with his wife to the garage and gets in the back seat of the VW and necks with her, which I hope is also true for Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
And then the last is he goes, yeah, no, I don't. All right, fine. Maybe Charlie Munger. Shout out to Charlie Munger fans. All right. Tiger Woods is my third. I already strayed away from music with Ron Howard, so I thought I would just completely go away from it. And now this award is meaningless, but Tiger Woods is a child star on TV as a little kid, and then he became the best golfer of all time. Let's then talk about, this is sort of obvious from my song choices, but the next award I want to give out is best artists who are prolific at covering other people's music and make that a part of their career. This award would go to Cake. I'm obviously giving it to Miley. And then huge shout out to Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, which is a punk supergroup that only covers songs and mostly old songs. If you like covers as much as I do, and you have not listened to Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, please go check them out. All right, Jordan. So as we wrap up here today, we have one final shot to tie a bow on this episode. We've argued here that we believe that Miley Cyrus's best moments are ahead of her. We have provided a potential blueprint for the types of themes that she could pull out from her own music and the covers that she's done to take this journey into making potentially the best country album of all time. What else left do you have to say here?
Okay. I'm going to warn you. I'm going to beg. If you don't like hearing a 35-year-old man beg, just hit pause and move on. No.
Some people don't like hearing Jordan talk at all.
Am I right? This is my official plea. And like I said, I'm begging at this point. Miley, please pull a Taylor Swift and record your version of Folklore. Please, please, please do it. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Find the right producers. Find the right people, the right creative support structure. Record it in Nashville, or if you don't want to do it in Nashville, do it in the middle of nowhere. Go for a month in the middle of nowhere and just do piano, guitar, banjo, mandolin, whatever the hell you want to do, and come out and give us that album that we're all wanting. And last but not least, selfishly, schedule some dates at the Ryman, maybe the best concert venue in the world here in Nashville, and just perform the new album. I'll be there. I'll pay as much as you want. I'll show up, and Greg and I will cheer you on.
Yes, I agree. So my parting statement here is Miley's going to be Miley. She told us in the first song that we referenced in this episode. And that's part of the appeal. So for me, you know, sure, I'd like to see her do some more duets. I'd love to see her vocal range. I would love to see her continue covers, which I'm sure she'll do. And I would love to hear her do more of a singer, inwardly looking songwriter project. But here's the thing I want her to do. I want her to take her own path. And I know that she's going to do what she wants to do, but that is going to make the ultimate payoff more interesting and more satisfying. And I can tell you that a week to deep diving into Miley Cyrus's music in a way that I have not done for a long time, her best music is in front of her. I firmly believe that. And I think she is going to deliver on Jordan's plea. I think she's just going to have to do it on her own terms. We might have to wait. But when she continues to learn as a singer, as a songwriter, as an artist, we are going to get some great music from her going forward. So I'm excited. Well, Jordan, that wraps us up. Check out the playlist that we're making that accompany these episodes. The easiest way to find it is by going to www.soundsgoodtous.com. There's a link there that you can check them all out.
Thank you. See ya.